Well, good morning.
Hello.
Good morning. Sorry, I didn't give you the scriptures beforehand. And I want to, this morning, in this time of pandemic, lots of people getting sick, share about health. And I want to share a little bit about healthy Christianity. And the passage that I've chosen this morning is from Philippians. Philippians is an amazing book. Paul is writing to this church that has had such an incredible impact on him. He loves this church. And we see in just a few brief verses, and let me just remind you that the chapters and verses came many, many years later. They were categorized into chapters and verses. But within a short period of verses, Paul talks about two diverse situations. First of all, in chapter 4 and verse 1, he talks about, "Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends." I mean, you know, he's talking to this church that is his joy and his crown. He loves these people. Passionately loves this church. But a few verses earlier, we see that he is referring to some in the church, some people that participate in the Christian life. And he says in chapter 3 and verse 18, he says that there are people, they are enemies of the cross of Christ. They are enemies of the cross of Christ. So you see these two different people. So this morning I want to just share a few thoughts, and they are really not in consecutive order. They're just stuff that I've thought of and I've grabbed a hold of and I've put into a sermon form. So he says here, these are enemies of the cross, in verse 18 of chapter 3. And if I could cross-reference that to Titus chapter 1, Paul says, they claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. Wow. Wow. So Paul writes to this church, and he's got these two different things going on in his heart. So I want to share, and the first thought that I've got here is, first characteristic of health is faithfulness. Faithfulness. Mother Teresa of Calcutta was, she helped the destitute in India. And one day somebody asked her what was the measure of success of her ministry, and she looked a little puzzled, and then she answered, and said, "I don't ever remember the Lord calling us to be successful." Mm-hmm. He spoke only of faithfulness in loving. The Lord called me to faithfulness in love. And that is the only success that really counts. Ultimately, you will be measured by your faithfulness. You remember Jesus said in Matthew 25, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Years ago, when I first started the ministry, I was pastoring a little church in Milnerton. And in that congregation, there were two guys. One was an executive at Shell. He was highly educated, had a number of degrees, had continued to study, and was very influential. And when he came to church, people loved him, people flocked around him. We asked him to lead a Bible study community during the week, which he did. He took that on, but very soon afterwards, he just felt that he was doing too much work and moved out of that position. There was another guy who was a bank clerk, not as educated as him, not as influential, but he was there every single Sunday. When he came to church, he always brought people with him. He longed for people to experience the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. but he was not as influential as the executive. But at the end of the day, that bank clerk was the one who was the faithful one. Always there. And Josh Chen, we call it, you can feel him or her in your kidneys. Right behind. Just that sheer faithfulness. Been asked to do a number of funerals in my life. One day a family came to me and said, could you do a funeral for my father? I said, no, I can do it. You know, that he was a member of your church. Never saw him. Never ever shaded the pew of this church. Never probably gave a cent to the church. Never saw it, but he was a member of the church. No, he wasn't. Didn't recognize his faithfulness at all. But they insisted that he was a member of the church. You see, if you lose nothing, you miss nothing. And in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, Jesus responds to the faithfulness of this church that he's writing to, and he says, I honor your faithfulness. You have been faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. During the First World War, two brothers were fighting the same battle. At the end of the battle, one of the brothers just managed to get back to the trenches. Couldn't find his other brother, realized that he was out in no man's land, out of the battlefield. He said to the captain, can I go and get my brother? And the captain said, no. He said, please, captain, I need to go and get my brother out of the battlefield, no man's land. You need to help me, release me to go. The captain said, okay, you can go. Leopard crawled, got to his brother and managed to bring him back. But as he got back to the trench, they realized that he had died. And the captain said to the brother who went out, he said, see, I told you, it's going to be absolutely of no use. The brother who went to fetch his other brother on the battlefield said, he was alive when I got to him. And this is what he said, Tom, I knew you would come. I just felt sure that you would come. I did what was expected of me. And I would have been ashamed if I hadn't have gone. See, the Lord is expecting something from us. Your leadership is expecting something from you. Your friends are expecting something from you. Do that which is best for him. One day the Lord will say to us, my child, I counted on you, and may say, and you didn't disappoint me. There is nothing that will kill a church more than inconsistency. There is nothing that will kill the church unreliability. You remember that parable that Jesus told with the parable of the talents? One had five talents, one had two talents, one had one talent. The guy with the one talent didn't multiply, didn't use what he had got. He was unreliable. And all that he did, he didn't even put that one talent into the bank to gain interest. He went and he buried that talent. Didn't do anything with it. And when the master returned, the master said to him, listen to these words, you lazy and wicked. Because he didn't do anything. He became wicked. And the Lord said, be cast out into the outer darkness. That's a real, real knock if we do nothing. The Lord has given to us certain talents, and it is our job to be faithful to those. There is this, I think, epidemic within the church to, I need a break. I need to take some time out. And then the devil, who is the most consistent of all the members of the church, he never takes a break. He's just vilifying and attacking the church constantly. And we can't be inconsistent in any way. Faithfulness has its rewards. With faithfulness comes greater revelation. If you're faithful to the Lord, he will reveal stuff to you. And there'll be an ongoing revelation that takes place. If we are faithful, we will know more and more about him. If we are unfaithful, we won't know about the Lord. We won't know about the Bible. We won't know about his character. Also, with faithfulness comes greater usefulness. In Matthew 25, verse 23, you have been faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many. You've been faithful in a few, I will make you ruler over many. And that's exactly how it works within the kingdom of God. If we're faithful in a few things, I've seen guys who don't have much giftedness, but they've just been faithful. And they've been promoted. And they hold huge, huge sway and influence in the kingdom of God. David was faithful in caring for his father's sheep. And God saw that. And what he saw was this faithful, faithful man, and eventually gave him a nation to take care of. David was faithful in going out and defeating the lion and the bear in private. And God gave him a giant to kill in public. Paul had Timothy as his helper, and he faithfully served Paul, and eventually he became Paul's successor. Also, faithfulness has its reward because we receive the master's approval. Once again, those words, well done, good and faithful servant. For healthy Christianity, we need to be faithful. The second one is, we need to build. We need to build. Building up. There was a pastor who started a church in the Free State. And after a year, he got to 50 people. He bumped into a friend. He said, how's it going? He said, no, it's going well. He says, how many members you got now? He says, I've got 50. He says, that's amazing. After the first year, you've got 50 members. That's incredible. Yeah. But not that incredible. You see, I have 50 very active members. 25 are for me, and 25 are against me. Active. Now, I must say that I've been part of three different movements or denominations. I've been with Josh Chin going on 11 years. And I must say that there is such a wonderful value of building in this church. We've grasped the value, we've grasped the vision, and we're pushing forward. But I've been in denominations and movements where I've had 25 active members that have been for me, and 25 active members who have been against me. Thank you. Midlook and Dutch for this. Everyone in the church is willing. Some are willing to work, and some are willing to let them do the work. Never ceases to amaze me some of the excuses that we hear. I wish that I had written down some of the excuses, some of the things that people have said. The most recent one was not coming to church because my family have got no breakfast for me on Father's Day. So you're not coming to be with God's people and to honor the Father on Father's Day. was done? Really? You probably heard that one too. Jesus was speaking to a crowd one day, and they were sitting out on the hillside having a picnic. And Jesus looked at them and saw what they really were. They were like a sheep. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus had an incredible heart for them. A sheep without a shepherd. But at that moment, he saw all the possibilities that he had for them. And this is what he said in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore beseech the Lord of the harvest and send out the workers into the harvest. Service, building up in the kingdom of God. This is joyous labor for every child of God that abides in Jesus Christ. Matthew 10 and verse 42, it says, whoever gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, shall not lose his reward. I mean, just the slightest little thing Jesus notices. As we encourage one another, as we bless one another, as we build one another up. Dr. Martin Bahan, who was a prophetic teacher, said this: to come to Christ costs nothing. To follow Christ costs something. To serve Christ costs everything. Costs everything. Remember what Jesus said? Whoever saves his life will lose it. Whoever loses, spends his life building, will save it. That's Matthew 10, verse 39. I wonder if you could, Irina, put on Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10. I'm going to read a verse that's probably a little different. It's the same passage. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is a verse that every one of us should know. It's by grace that you have been saved through faith. As you have come and you've experienced God's grace, you're saved. God has filled you with his forgiveness and his redemption. That it's by grace. It's undeserved love. It's not of yourselves, it is a gift from God, not as a result of works that no one should boast. Whoa! Fantastic. I have received God's salvation by grace. But the next verse, this is the next verse after this incredible gift. Look at verse 10, and this is what it says. It says, goes on, for good works that you have been prepared, which God has prepared beforehand, that you should walk in them. Build up. Keep on building up. Don't tear down. And it's so easy. Let me tell you, it's so easy. I've seen buildings that take years to build. And a squad after years comes in, fills it with dynamite, and within seconds that entire building collapses. It's much, much more difficult to build up than to tear down. A guy came to me one day, years ago when I was at the Wilton Presbyterian Church. I was chatting to him. I said, hi, you're a visitor here. He said, you come from church? Yeah, yeah, I come from church. And he says this to me. He says, I'm that church's chief critic. I'm thinking, are you serious? Really? Are you serious, pal? I'm that church's chief critic. And, you know, I was a lot stroppier. cockier, more arrogant back then. And I said, well, I hope you don't join this church. So, we didn't see him again. But I mean, how do you actually come to say, I'm that church's chief critic? I mean, no church is perfect. I mean, as gifted as what Sean is, he's sharing with us, and he says, humility, ach, humility. I mean, I love that South African saying, when you do something wrong, it's ach. I only see that in South Africa. I love that. I thought it was fantastic. Ach, I made a mistake. Nobody's perfect. I'm not perfect. My wife will tell you that. None of you are perfect. None of our leaders are perfect. None of our deacons are perfect. None of our community leaders are perfect. And neither are any of you perfect. Just in case. You forgot that thing. Don't tear down. In the Californian desert, there are two birds. One is a hummingbird. One is a vulture. The hummingbird looks for sweet blossoms on a cactus. The vulture looks for rotten meat. Both find what they're looking for. There are two types of Christians in the church. Both find. What are you looking for? See, some people find fault like it's buried treasure. Just look for the fault. Build up, rather. Build up. And watch what you speak. A story is told of a woman who started to find fault with one of the leaders of their church. She slandered this person, told terrible rumors to the whole town. But she got sick, and she realized the error of her ways, and she repented, and she asked for forgiveness. She went to that leader and said, this is what I've done. I'm very sorry. He says, I'll forgive you. I want you to do a few things, though. I want you to go home, and I want you to take a hen, pluck all the feathers, put it into a basket, and come to me. Within an hour, she came back, and all the feathers were in a basket. He said, I want you to go to all the street corners and take a handful of feathers and throw them down the street. And then if you've got any feathers left over in your basket at the end of that, I want you to go up to the church bell tower and throw the feathers into the air and let the wind take them away. She did that. She came back. And then he said, I want you to take all those feathers that you thrown away, I want you to go and gather up all of those feathers again. She said, well, that's impossible. He said, listen to me. This is exactly the situation. As you have slandered, as you have used your tongue to slander me, I forgive you for that. But I will never, ever be able to regain all of those rumors. And you will never be able to gain those rumors again. James tells us that the tongue can do irreparable damage. Irreparable damage. And if we are to exhibit a Christian attitude, I guess that the verse would be to go to is Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. This is what it says. Brethren, even if a man is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, lest you be tempted. Restore. You who are spiritual, restore. It's like a surgeon, a specialized orthopedic surgeon, resetting the bone that's been broken. And you reset it and you restore it to its original place. And you allow it to heal. That's what the word restore is. And that is our job as Christians. And then very quickly, going on to the third one, is we always need to have an outward vision. To be a healthy church, we must have an outward vision and not an inward sensitivity. We need to have a vision for others. The needs of our community, the needs of those out there. I thank God that we and Josh Chen have got always a vision to plant new churches, to go on missions, to see the world. Obviously, during this whole period of lockdown, it has been hindered. But Jesus said in John chapter 4 and verse 35, lift up your eyes and look to the fields, for they are white already for harvest. There are people out there that desperately, desperately need to come to know and understand. See, if a church does not evangelize, it will fossilize, and we need to get out there. If a church is not evangelizing, if a church doesn't have the vision to bring in those that are out there, it will begin to deteriorate. Immanuel Brunner, the great German theologian, said, the church exists by mission as fire exists by burning. 400 years ago, the Mayflower traveled right across the Atlantic Ocean, got to the shores of the United States. They started to set up camp in November of 1620, 400 years ago. There was great, great hardship. People died of hunger and disease, and about a third of them managed to return back and to bring some more pilgrims out to the United States. But they set up, in the first year, they set up a little place that they were going to make into a town. In the second year, they elected a town government. In the third year, they decided that they were going to build a road 8 kilometers into the wilderness. In the fourth year, the townsfolk wanted to get rid of their town government because they were wasting funds because they had decided to build a road 8 kilometers into the wilderness. I mean, understand this. They had traveled across the Atlantic Ocean 5,000 kilometers, and now they were going on about traveling 8 kilometers into the wilderness. They had lost their vision. And we cannot do that as a church. Our vision always needs to be out there on the community, on those that are not in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our vision needs to be on those people, to bring them in and to have them experience the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. We come, we experience His grace, we receive His salvation. But then He says, go. The first two letters of the word gospel is go. The first two letters of God is go. We need to take the gospel of God out to people. And that should be our goal. And the first two letters of the word goal is go. So we can't be overly sensitive. So as soon as we start getting petty, you building a road 8 kilometers into the wilderness, you'll start to die. That church from the inside will just start to throb. And as soon as we become petty like that, it's like what Jesus said to the Pharisees. You strain gnats, but you swallow camels. It's a good picture. petty over gnats, but you're swallowing huge, huge animals. If we're going to be a healthy church, we have to be faithful. We have to have a vision. I'm going to get out there and tell people about Jesus Christ and bring them in. Over the last little while, I've spoken about eternity, spoken about heaven and hell. Once again, I'm seriously impressed at how much information there is in the Gospels and the New Testament about eternity and about the afterlife. Just boggles my mind. You see, once you put those glasses on, you just read so much in the New Testament is about the things of eternity. And in this context of COVID-19, where there is so much reporting of death and what's going on, I want to say to you, health is the thing that we need to go for here in the church. Just want to finish off with a story of Stephen Curtis Chapman, who's a Christian singer. And a number of years ago, they were involved in a car accident, and their child, a little boy of 5 years old, a little girl of 5 years old, was killed. And the response from many, many Christians around the world was incredible. And they received numerous messages in their state of bereavement. But the one message that stood out for them was from a fellow pastor, a pastor that they knew, who had also lost a child. And this is what he said. "Remember, your future with your daughter will be greater than your past with her." This is about eternity. This is about the afterlife. And we have to get it right. It's about health. Let's pray together.